something about something we said that wasn't clear or something like that, then, you know, unmute and ask your question. If it's about something we didn't mention, maybe that could wait till the end so that we'll be able to get to everything we got to get to tonight. Okay. I know in the past we've given this shiur. We've had people that have been gracious enough to host the shiur, etc. And this year, you know, we had to do it a little differently, unfortunately, due to the circumstances. But also, we will try to cover different areas than what we usually have covered in the past due to the circumstances. So, the main thing that, you know, we'll start off with is there's two parts of this, of the shiur. I mean, there's one in general, how to clean the house for Pesach and get the house ready for Pesach. So we'll spend some time on that. We'll spend some time on kashering some basic things, and then some other halachas that people are asking and want to know about exactly, you know, how to take care of certain issues which come up this year. And as well, there's a lot of issues for people that this is their first year making Pesach, so I'd like to address some of those issues as well. So as far, we're going to talk a little quickly to try to get as much as we can in, and then we will... again, if there's something that's not clear, well, you're welcome to unmute yourself and ask the question. Other than that, let's save other questions to the end. Okay, so as far as getting ready and cleaning for Pesach, so this year is very challenging, obviously. In Mitzvah Shem, everyone's feeling good and strong and able to do it, and everyone's husbands are able to help. But even if that's the case, you know, having kids home and being in the house all day with kids, it doesn't allow for a lot of extra time. It doesn't allow for a lot of extra time to for cleaning. And if someone just asked, it is being recorded and it's going to be on the Kohl's website. Hopefully by tomorrow, so it will be available. So, in general, to understand, what is the inyan of cleaning for Pesach? So the main purpose of the inyan of cleaning for Pesach is that we're going to do a bittul. A person does bittul chametz. Bittul means that we nullify everything in the home. So why are we cleaning for Pesach? We're cleaning because maybe there are pieces that we missed, and those pieces may end up, we may end up eating those pieces. So you may end up finding a cookie, or you may end up finding some sort of pretzel or something that's delicious and tastes good. So you may end up coming to eat that. However, when it comes to crumbs, it's very unlikely that you're going to eat those crumbs. And therefore, there's really no chayvas bedika meikra adin to check for crumbs at all. Obviously, the Gemara says the Yisrael Kedoshim, there are big levels and people that want to get very, very crumbs, but that's not the ikra halacha at all. The ikra halacha is that a person only has to get rid of the big pieces of chametz and not the crumbs. Because of that, that when it comes to cleaning for Pesach, a person's not mechuyev to go into every drawer and every cabinet and every area where there's possibly a morsel or some sort of crumb in order to get rid of their chametz. They're really not mechuyev to do that. So the person has to. A person has to understand that what I'm looking for are significant pieces of chametz. Therefore, let's take for and also you're also only mechuyev to check for chametz in areas which are a makom shemachnis chametz. It's a place which is likely it has chametz. So let's take a child's bedroom. So even if it's a possibility that in the child's bedroom there's a lot of chametz, and let's say a child will come in and they stored all their snacks that they got on Purim, and all my friends gave me this cookie and this and all the chametz that they've been saving up. So what did they do with it? So maybe they stuck it into their drawers. So really, if that's possible, and for not everyone, that's a possibility. Some people are very makbid in bedrooms. There should be not brought in any chametz. If you're makbid, then in your bedrooms, no chametz should be brought in. You don't have to clean those bedrooms. However, if it's possible that there is chametz in the bedrooms, really all you have to do is open the drawer, take out the clothes, look inside, see if there's a cookie, and put the stuff back. You don't have to vacuum out the drawers. You don't have to shake out the drawers. You don't have to do any of that. So really, all you have to do is open the drawers, look through the drawers, see if there's chametz, and put it back, and that's it. So you do the dresser in a couple minutes, and then underneath the beds, you take a look, and you don't need to vacuum 10 times and sweep and mop and everything like that. You look for chametz and you see if it's clean, and that's really all you have to do, make radin, in order to clean a bedroom for chametz. If you have bookshelves, so if you have very little kids, sometimes the kids will take out books and, you know, but even that's a chumrah. You don't really have to check. But if it's likely that maybe there's chametz back there, so then, again, you could take it out, look and put it back. You don't need to clean it and wipe it and scrape it for chametz. All you have to do is find significant pieces. Let's say you have bins of toys. So sometimes you will find chametz in bins of toys, but you could just look at them. Look at the toys and look at the bins and see if there's, you know, it's a clear bin. See if there's chametz. If you want to take the stuff out, look at it, put it back in, and that's it. But you don't need to scrub or clean or do anything like that. So the anything which is, there's no real chash of anywhere that there's no real chash of a concern that there's real chametz, there's no need to check there or clean there. More than just looking for the pieces of chametz. There's no need to scrub it or clean it or do anything like that. So most of the house, really, you go in there, you look in the drawers, see if there's chametz, and you're done, and that's it. So cleaning bedrooms really shouldn't take very long. Cleaning a playroom, maybe there's a lot of bins of toys, so you try to, you know, first of all, the toys that you may think that you do not need for Pesach, you could just sell them, and you know, not have to clean it at all. But otherwise, you know, you would, it's probably a good idea to take out the toys, look inside to see if there's chametz and put them back, and that's it. You don't have to vacuum out the drawers and clean the drawers and scrub them and whatever. That's the ikra halacha of how to clean most of the house for chametz. The main issue that requires a little bit more concentration, a little bit more work, is the areas where food comes in contact with those areas, which is in the kitchen and dining room. So let's take, for example, the refrigerator. So the refrigerator, even if you, let's say, take out the food and there's no cookies and no pretzels there, but there's still crumbs. The problem with the crumbs is that maybe you're going to end up putting some food there, and the crumbs will fall into the food, and that's taka problem. So anywhere there's a concern with there's crumbs, there's two ways to get about that, go about getting rid of those crumbs. One way is that you actually sit there cleaning it, you know, very carefully and make sure there's no crumbs, or you spray it with some material which makes it pugum, which makes it not edible. It's not shaykh. It's not roy lachil's kelf. So let's say you spray it with some sort of a bleach type of cleaner. So then if you spray the fridge shelf with this bleach type of cleaner, so it will make any food not roy lachil's kelf anymore. It's not edible. And therefore, once you clean it, then that is fine. So therefore, you wouldn't have to be worried about it at that point. And the final way would be to cover the shelf with a fridge liner. If you cover the shelf, then also you don't have to be concerned that any crumbs that are stuck to the shelf would become, would get into your food. So those are the three ways to clean any of the areas in the kitchen that you're worried about crumbs. So again, either actually sit there scrubbing it with a toothpick and trying to get into every nook and cranny, or spraying the area with some sort of cleanser that has bleach in it, or covering it. So same thing goes, let's say, for shelves where in your pantry. So the whole year they're holding pretzels and cookies and wafers and all sorts of chametz. Now you want to go put in your delicious macaroons and your other delicious Pesach snacks. So you're concerned that maybe there's going to end up being some of the crumbs are going to fall into your snacks, which is a legitimate concern. So you could do the same three methods that we said before. Either you spray it with some sort of spray, or you actually clean it out very carefully. But the easiest method is take some sort of paper or take some sort of fridge liner and put it down, and that's it. So really those areas, the easiest way to do it is to just cover the areas where the food or your dishes come in contact. So areas in the kitchen where shelves in the kitchen that there's chametz there the whole year, and now you're using them either for Pesach food or Pesach dishes, the easiest thing to do is just lay down a piece of paper. There's something called freezer paper. Reynolds makes this freezer paper. It's very cheap. Like a whole roll is like $3, and it's enough for your whole house. It's good paper. It's like freezer paper or some sort of paper. And by doing that, you you're covering the area, you're covering the shelves, and you have nothing to be worried about in those areas, even the areas where the food comes in contact with. Okay? Now, that's, you know, let's say the pantry, the shelves, the fridge, and the those areas. The dining room table. The dining room table should be cleaned and then covered. You should have one cover that stays on their Pesach the whole year, and then on top the whole Pesach. It's like you covered the table, and then on top of that cover, then you put a tablecloth. You know, so therefore, basically, the table is covered the whole time. Once the table is covered the whole Pesach, you have nothing to worry about. So, you know, it's very hard to scrub the table perfectly. So you should just, you know, put down a cover on the table. The cover could be a plastic, let's say, you know, disposable plastic tablecloth. So you put one of those down, and that covers the whole table for the whole Pesach. And then on top of that, then you go ahead and put a tablecloth. If you want to make it fun, so what we always do is use that freezer paper. We cover the paper, and then before we put on the tablecloth, all the kids can go on the table and color and make their whole, you know, Pesach Seder or whatever they want to do. And, you know, that will maybe be an activity for an hour for your kids. Go color on top of the table, and then go ahead and put on the tablecloth. But that's your cover of your table. So the tables should be covered. Again, so what we're saying is areas that never come in contact with food don't really have to be cleaned from crumbs at all. Don't have to be cleaned much. Just have to be made sure that there's no big pieces of chametz. So just look around. Playroom, bedrooms, areas like that where you're not bringing those things to the table. You're not bringing Legos to the table. You're not going to eat with them. And the same thing is with Sfarim. You know, Meir Adin says the Vilna Gaon was very careful that, you know, he checked every sefer. Nowadays, it's very difficult to check every sefer from crumbs. How are you going to check every sefer? But the best way to do that is just be those sfarim that you use during the year with food, don't bring them to the table. So sfarim that the person uses over with food, let's say you learn Shmiras Halashon and you bring the sefer to the table. So on Pesach, you should not bring those sfarim to the table. Obviously, benchers and stuff like that should be sold with the chametz because those are really full of chametz. But you don't have to check those things for, as long as you're not bringing them to the table, you don't have to check them for small pieces. One thing that you have to, the couch. So the couch, maybe a person eats on Pesach over the couch, and maybe you'll stick your hands in. The couch should be vacuumed out. That is a good idea because sometimes there are real significant pieces, and sometimes, you know, and there's a lot of crumbs there. The couch is a good idea to have it vacuumed out. And one other thing, which is a little harder, but, you know, it's probably a good idea, is the dining room chairs. So the dining room chairs, again, you sit there the whole year, and you're going to sit there on Pesach. So areas that you may touch with your hands while you're eating, it's a good idea to wipe down the dining room chairs, kitchen chairs, maybe, you know, wipe them down. That taka is a good idea, because there's a concern that maybe there is crumbs on them, and that's mamish where you're eating. So it's probably a good idea to wipe down the dining room chairs. Okay. Now, other things, anything which there's no likelihood that you're going to be using on Pesach, let's say suitcases, backpacks of kids, lunch boxes, all that stuff you should put in there that you're selling for the kids, selling for chametz, with the chametz, and just get rid of it because those things are full of chametz, and you have to, and it's not kedai to have to check them, so just put them away. A purse, that taka should be totally cleaned out well, because that, there's chametz in the whole year. And you may find cookies in there and stuff that you never realized was in there. And also, while you're a purse is something you're likely to be eating while you're mishing around over there. So it's better to, you know, that really should be cleaned out well. And also, it's kedai to take a little paper towel and wipe down your telephone, because sometimes you're cooking while you have your phone. So your phone should be, you know, I don't know if a regular, you know, well, it depends what your phone looks like, but it is, you know, it's kedai to take a look at that. Okay. All right. So that's pretty much running through the basic areas of the house. Is the kitchen areas, which have to be done more. And again, what we are suggesting for the freezer, the fridge, the pantry, the shelves where you put dishes or food, what we're suggesting is to either cover them or pour some sort of cleaner that has bleach, and that would cover your bases. There's, okay. Now, quickly, I'm not going to talk too much about kashering because I gave two shiurim before on kashering. They're available on the Kol's website, and I'm not going to get into every detail of kashering. One thing I did not talk about in those shiurim is a few people have been talking, asking about kashering specific, not kashering the oven or the sinks. I'm not going to talk about that right now. If there's time afterwards and someone has a question, we can discuss those. There was a specific question mentioned about the glass top stove, so I'll mention it. The kashering the glass top is a shaila. There are those that are lenient on it, and you could turn them all four burners onto the highest, and it kashers like that. Even according to that, the area between the burners will not be kashered. And therefore, if a pot would slide over between the burners or food would touch the area between the burners, it would be a little bit of a question. So if a person wants to use their glass top, then what I would suggest is turn each burner onto the highest for about 15 minutes, and then try to, the star case suggests getting like a trivet or something like that, like a metal disc. I don't even know in these circumstances how you would get that or what it means exactly. Some sort of metal disc that you could put on top of the burner that would lift the pot over the surface of the glass top, so this way it's not touching the bottom of the glass top. If you're not a big family and it's not going to be a big ASIC, it could be just easier to just buy a two burner, you know, range. They're not very expensive, but if you need four burners and you need a stove to cook, then you know, the best etza is to try to do those, you know, those trivets. If you can't find that, there is what Lilinian on Reb Shmuel first in his shir in Chicago said you could just turn them on all four to the highest, and as long as the pots are not bigger than the burner, that should be okay. So if you have a very big pot that's bigger than your biggest burner, so that means that it's going to extend beyond where it turns red, that could be a problem. So what you're better off is, you know, so in that case, you know, it's going to be a little bit of a problem. But your pot should always fit only on the part that turns red, and it should not go to the area that should not, you know, stretch out and be bigger than the burner, because then it's touching the area between the burners, and that was never kashered. So the glass top, the only area that you really theoretically could kasher is the area of the burners themselves. So your pot you have to make sure that the pot is not bigger than the size of the burner. If you do have the regular range, not like a flat burner, but like a range that you put in. So behind the range, there's like this panel. So that area also should be covered, because the pots during the year are pushed back and touch that area. You should cover them. When you cover them, I'm pointing out, is that you should not cover the air vents, because those air vents sometimes, that's what vents out all the hot air from the oven. If you cover that, the heat of the oven will get trapped over there, and then your whole back of your range, which is where the screen and the controls are, will melt. And we've had experience where that's happened, and therefore, you know, that could be a problem. Okay, regular burners and ovens we'll talk about later, if we have time. Okay, as far as the area like between the burner and the counter, same thing. You should, there's a lot of crumbs there, so you should pour some bleach down there and just clean it out. As far as moving the oven out of the way, so if you have a drawer and you can pull the drawer out, and by pulling the drawer out, you can now sweep very easily underneath the oven. That you should do that, because then it's pretty simple to do it, and it's not a problem. It's not a problem to go ahead and do that. So you should do is you should take out the drawer and sweep underneath the area underneath the oven. If you don't have a drawer and you have to, it's a big tircha and it's heavy to move the oven out of the way, you do not need to move the oven out of the way unless the oven was installed less than 30 days ago, or you already moved it out less than 30 days ago. So then, you know, but if it's been sitting there already for 30 days, there's no need to move it out of the way. Furthermore, if the same thing with the fridge is easier to move. So if you want to, you can move it out of the way. If it's a tircha to move it out of the way, and you're not going to move it out of the way on Pesach, and it's been there for 30 days, you don't need to move the fridge out of the way. You can leave it in there and not have to move it out of the way. One thing about the fridge, we talked about cleaning the fridge, the gasket, it's called, the little rubber thing which closes the fridge. sometimes when you stretch it up, there's a lot of crumbs there, so that's an area that's got to clean, because those crumbs sometimes could actually fall into food or something when you are putting food away. So you should be careful with that. Okay. The person has self-clean oven, they turn on the oven and self-clean. The place can say you do not need a full, like, four-hour cycle. You could do a two and a half hour cycle, and you should keep your racks inside the self-clean oven. If you do not have a self-clean oven, you could turn your oven onto the highest, which is 450 or 500, whatever the highest, for 2 hours. That's okay, but that will not kasha the racks. And therefore, the racks, you should either find someone that is doing a self-clean and put it into their self-clean oven. If in these circumstances you can't do that, it's probably better just cover the racks with foil or something like that in order to have the racks kashered for so you don't put food directly on the racks. The racks would need a full-fledged, self-clean. Putting it on the highest of the oven will not kosher the racks. One other thing is that the knobs of the oven also you should clean. You should take off the knob and clean, the oven, because there is, it depends what type of oven you have, but there's gook underneath there, and the knobs should be cleaned out well. The oven hood, so I was always under the impression the oven is very dirty, and therefore it should be cleaned well, but it's really impossible to clean it well, and therefore you should really cover it for Pesach. I would suggest that, however, I did see that Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky in a sefer says there's no need to cover it because there's no way that anything that's on there is going to fall back into your pot or get into your food. Therefore, if it's difficult to cover it because it's, you don't have time to, or it's very difficult to cover it, then you would not need to cover the oven hood, and you could rely on that. Rav Shmuel says you can rely on that, and that's okay. Okay, as far as counters, if you have a plastic counter, we don't kasher plastic for Pesach, which goes for any kalim which are plastic, so we don't kasher anything which is plastic for Pesach. So if your counters are for mica or some sort of plastic, we don't kasher them. If it's stone, then you're able to kasher it. You can kasher it in one of two ways. Either you put boiling hot water over the whole counter. It obviously has to be very, very clean. Very clean, so there should be nothing on it. And then you can kasher it by pouring boiling hot water over the counter. It's a little bit of a messy process, and it's also, halachically, there's some question too about it. Some people came up with this method of using some sort of iron, and the iron, when it gets red hot, when you put it onto the counter, you put, like, let's say, a wet paper towel on the counter, and then you put an iron on it so it sizzles the water in the paper towel. That would essentially be hagala, and that would kosher the counter. Could be that's a neater and cleaner way to kosher your counter for Pesach. The backsplash, if it's in there's certain different types of counters. But if you have counters where, let's say, your chalent pot is on that counter, so very often the chalent pot's towards the back of the counter, and the whole year it's sitting there, it's pushing up against the back of the backsplash, or you put pots up or whatever. So those areas should be covered. The backsplash should also be covered because it also got chametz on there, you should cover that backsplash. If it's just like a pyre, if it's just a counter that lav dafka, that would happen, probably you don't have to do that, but if it's a counter that's the derech, you should be aware that the backsplash should be covered as well. Okay, as far as kashering specific kalim, so a lot of people, is there any, so far on this part, the whole kitchen area, is there any questions? If someone has a question. If you can't kosher it, if you don't want to kosher it, you can't kosher it, then you could just cover it. Yeah. Now, it depends. If you use a cover which is thick that won't rip, then yeah, you don't have to kosher them. You can just cover them. If you're going to use, like, let's say, right, plastic is not kosherable, so then you should cover the counters. But you don't need to kosher it and cover it. Covering it is enough. As long as it's a cover that there's no concern that it will rip. So let's say you have contact paper or something. In the old days, we used to use contact paper and cover our whole counter. But that stuff, it's a little flimsy, so it could rip. So that's why people had the minhag to kosher the counter and cover them. Because, but now, if you can get a heavy-duty cover that there's no concern that will rip on Yom Tif, so you don't need to kosher the counter. As long as you covered it, it's fine. Right. So I'm saying, if you want to put everything directly on the shelves, then yes, you need to do that. If you're going to get, let's say, right. Well, anything that could theoretically come in contact with food. So under the drawer, you know, it's kedai to do that because you see it the whole time. You know, it's clear, you see it. So, you know, it's probably kedai to do that. But, you know, wipe it down and whatever. But if you're going to use a fridge liner on the shelves and stuff, then you don't have to. Then you don't have to make yourself crazy with that because anyway, the shelf liner is covering the shelf, so you're not putting anything directly on that shelf. Like taking it all out. No, right, because that stuff, that area doesn't come in contact directly with the food. So if it doesn't come in contact directly with the food, you don't have to be concerned that those crumbs will fall into your food, you know? So, you know, obviously if you're seeing a crumb, you're seeing crumb, you should get rid of it. But basically, you know, you don't need to necessarily do all that. You don't have to take apart every drawer of your fridge to the point that you don't know how to put it back together, you know? So you don't need to do that. Okay. Yeah. Right. It's not everyone agrees to it, if that's what you're asking, but that's a valid method, but not everyone agrees to it. You know, it's a lot of times this, especially right now, there are people that this is when they're making Pesach. They're not making Pesach again anytime soon. You know, so to go ahead and do something which is a big tircha, you don't necessarily have to do that right now. If a person would ask in a regular circumstance, what they should do is a different, you know, maybe a little bit different. You can ask me later if that's your case. Okay. Yeah. So make. Are you bringing up another issue? If people put the very hot food into their fridge, I never thought of that. Technically speaking, right. If it's not boiling hot food, then you should be able to. Once it's cleaned perfectly, you should be able to put it into the fridge directly. Yeah, if it's cleaned out well. There is a minhag brought down in the Mishnah Berurah to cover all surfaces, but you know not everyone follows that. So if you grew up that way, that's your minhag, then that's fine. But it's not everyone necessarily follows that. But there is such a minhag brought down that any surface. I'm saying, again, like I'm saying, it's a minhag. It's not mikra din, so you shouldn't drive yourself crazy to do it. If, you know, but there is the minhag is brought down. The minhag is brought down that any surface which touches food to cover. So there's such a thing, you know, if you're not kashering it. So an area like the fridge maybe would fall under that if that's your family minhag. Okay. The what? If your shelf is not covered and your mom is putting boiling hot food down, I never thought of that. I didn't know people do that. If mom is put boiling hot food straight into the fridge. If you do that, you know, I guess not. I guess it's a good point. You should be careful with that. Yeah, if the shelf is covered, you could, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so now as far as... Okay, so let's get to specific kalim. Okay, it's a good point. So let's get to that. We'll go one by one. Okay, so you brought up the grill. So let's talk about a grill. So a grill, you got to make sure that the grill, the grate itself is cleaned very well. And once it's cleaned very well, you can put it into the, turn on the grill on the highest for a while. It's got to be a long time until it gets really, really hot. You know, it gets very hot. It's probably even best you know, to put into like a self-clean oven or whatever. But now the top of the grill doesn't really get that hot. It's also got to be very, very clean. Is it possible to cover the top of the grill? You know, put some foil like over the top of the grill. If it's shaykh to cover the inside of the top of the grill, that would be your best bet on that. Cover the inside of the grill and do it like that. Otherwise, you know, that's what I would say to do. Many people are making Pesach for the first time, and it's very hard to find stuff, and it's expensive, and anyway, I'm not going to be making Pesach again, so I don't want to buy new dishes or whatever. So, therefore, people are asking about kashering. Now, here's how you kasher. If you have pots and pans, you can kasher those pots for Pesach. The way you kasher a pot for Pesach is, it depends, actually. If it's a pot that you could stick into a different pot, so it's not your biggest pot, it's not, you know, so you're kashering the smaller pots, and the smaller pots could fit into another pot. So the best way to kasher those is you fill up, or silverware. Let's say you want to kasher silverware. So you want to kasher silverware, you want to kasher a smaller pot or something like that. So what you do is, and it's all talking about stainless steel, because China, we can't kasher for Pesach or at all. And glass, Ashkenazim hold, you cannot kasher glass for Pesach either. Sephardim hold that glass doesn't even need to be kashered, but Ashkenazim hold that glass cannot be kashered for Pesach, and neither can plastic. Rav Moshe Feinstein says plastic cannot be kashered for Pesach, and therefore glass or plastic cannot be kashered for Pesach. But if you have a stainless steel, then what you could do is you take a chametz pot, and you make sure the chametz pot was not used for 24 hours. You take that chametz pot and you fill it to the top, and you boil it, and you bring it to a rapid boil. Once it comes to a rapid boil, you turn off the flame, and you pour that water out somewhere. You can pour it, you know, wherever. You pour it out. Once you did that, now that pot is essentially kosher for Pesach enough that you can use it to kasher other things. So now what you do is you fill it up with water again, and then you bring it to a boil, and then you could start kashering your silverware. Your silverware also, make sure that the silverware has not been used for 24 hours make sure the silverware was not used for 24 hours. And once the silverware was not used for 24 hours, then you could stick the silverware inside the pot one by one and fill up 10 or whatever at a time, take them out, and then you rinse them in cold water. The minhag is you rinse it in cold water, and therefore, and then it's kasher. So you could, as long as your silverware is clean and not used for 24 hours, that's all it takes to kasher the silverware. And you could also stick smaller pots into that larger pot, and those smaller pots would now be kashered for Pesach. So that's how you would kasher, very simple, that's how you would kasher silverware. The thing is, if you want to actually kasher the bigger pot for Pesach and use that pot itself, then there's another concern that the lip of the pot did not get kasher. So the only way to kasher that is you have to do what's called like an Evan Meluban. You have to take some sort of brick and heat it up and then stick it into the pot so that it will cause the water to overflow. And then once the water overflows, that kashers that pot, and now you can use that pot for Pesach. So again, if you want to kasher other things for Pesach, you don't need to use the Evan Meluban. All you need to do is bring the pot to a boil, kasher the pot, throw out the water, then bring the water up to a boil again, and then you can kasher your stuff in that pot. If you want to actually, and then take that pot when you're done and put it back with the chametz and sell it with the chametz for Pesach. If you're going to actually want to use the pot on Pesach, then you have to actually bring it to a boil, find a stone, heat up the stone with a tweezer or something, with the tongs, you know, heat up the stone, and then put the stone in, that would boil over the pot, then you can use the pot for Pesach. Things like on the stove, okay. What is it? Yeah, so there's something called, is that like continuous clean? Like it's a different method. It's with steam. Yeah, that's a problem. I'm not sure what to do with that. I know there's a new type of oven that the self-clean is not really fire. It's not so posh what to do with that. I'm not sure. I have to get back to you. Yeah, the place can talk about a new type of self-clean that's not actually fire. It's like a thing called continuous clean. It's more like steam or something like that. Okay, now I did point out, by the way, that you only have to do the self-clean for an hour and a half or 2 hours, because a lot of people now usually run the self-clean when their kids aren't home. But not to do a four-hour run of self-clean is going to be very tough with the kids home. So you could do an hour and a half or 2 hour self-clean cycle. Anyway, regardless, so back to the kashering in your kitchen. So if you want to kasher pots or silverware, that's how you could kasher it. People ask all sorts of other questions. Let's say an urn. So the problem with the hot water urn is it's not really kasherable for Pesach, because even though the urn itself is metal, but the spout is plastic. And like I said before, we don't kasher plastic for Pesach. And you'll say, well, I never used it for chametz. I only use it for coffee and tea. But over the course of the year, maybe used it for oatmeal or soups or some sort of chametz. And therefore, there is chametz in the spout. I'm sorry. There's some sort of chametz in the spout. And the spout is plastic. And therefore, you cannot kasher that spout for Pesach. And therefore, you really do need a new urn for Pesach. You can't kasher the urn for Pesach. Frying pans cannot be kashered, because frying pans, you can't stick them in a pot, because they require libun, they require fire itself, because you know there was no water in them in the first place. It was only through direct contact with the flame, and therefore they require a libun. You cannot kasher frying pans for Pesach. Frying pans, you need to get new ones for Pesach. Dishwashers have a lot of plastic pieces. If you have a lot of plastic pieces, again, you can't really kasher them for Pesach. If there's no if you're Sephardi, maybe it's different. But Ashkenazim cannot kasher a dishwasher for Pesach. Unless it's some sort of extenuating circumstances. If you have a specific circumstance, you can ask me. But in general, I would say a dishwasher, because it's plastic, you can kasher. A microwave, if a microwave has plastic, you're running into the same problem. If the microwave is not plastic, then if it's cleaned out well, then possibly if it's stainless steel, there is a way to kosher it. You would probably need to order a new glass tray, the round tray, because that's glass. And again, Ashkenazim no kosher glass or Pyrex or anything like that for Pesach. So you need to get a new tray. But if you get a new tray, then perhaps you could kosher the microwave by making sure it's very, very clean, and then putting in a glass of water in it for 5 minutes. Again, like I said, you'd have to make sure there's no plastic, and the glass tray would have to be replaced. Okay. As far as a few people asking about Tevilas Kelim. So as far as Tevilas Kelim is concerned this year, so there are cities where the Kelim Mikvah is not open. Here, I assume the reason for that is because it automatically will create crowding and create, people being too close to each other in one room. However, in this case, in North Miami Beach, the Kelim Mikvah is outside, and therefore we did keep it open, and it's being checked daily or periodically to make sure that the chlorine levels are okay with the health department, just like the main mikvah is, and therefore it's okay to use the Kelim Mikvah. However, the getting in and out is still a little bit of an issue. So therefore, what we would suggest is, I spoke to Rabbi Benzinger, and he agreed that what we would suggest is to have one car pull up. If there's someone there, stay in your car until the person that's using it leaves. Don't come out of the car when someone else is there. It's possible, if you're more comfortable, wear gloves. And then so you're not touching anything, to open the lid of the Kelim Mikvah. And obviously, everyone has to take their garbage with them and not leave a mess over there so it's clean. And, just be careful in and out of the Mikvah. But there's no door handles, there's no knobs, there's no really touching anything. It's just the one thing. So if you can clean up after yourself and, bring a towel to dry off your stuff so you don't drip all over the place, and you throw out your paper and plastic, then you can use the Kelim Mikvah. The Kelim Mikvah is usable. However, there are people that are uncomfortable using the Kelim Mikvah, and that's very understandable. So the cities that don't have a mikvah at all are being mako, are giving a leniency that the whole chiyuv of Tevilas Kelim is only when you bought a kli, you bought something from a guy. But if it still is owned by the guy, it's not mechuyev in tefillah. And therefore, a kli which is, belongs to a goy, and you're using it, let's say borrowing it, is not mechuyev in tefilas kelim. The thing is, it's pretty hard to go find a goy to sell all your stuff to, because who's, you know, where are you finding anybody? So I'll say one thing, is that any kli that you're only going to be, it's brand new, and you're only going to be using it on Pesach. So for example, your urn, you bought a new urn, because you just heard that you can't cash the plastic spout, so you have to go buy a new urn. But you don't want to be toivalent. So the new urn, you're only going to be using it on Pesach itself. So we're going to have in the Shtar Mechira to the Goy, where we sell the Chametz to the Goy, we're going to have in there an area saying any Kli that you bought and you're only going to be using it on Pesach will also sell to the Goy, and we'll ask him permission to say, do you mind allowing the Jew to use this Kli in the meanwhile? So if you bought, now this will not work for your pots and pans that you need to cook before Pesach, but for your urn, or let's say your chalon pot or something like that, which you're only going to be using on Pesach itself, you could maybe include it in your Shtar Mechira, ask your Rav, or whatever, however you're doing the sale of the Chametz, and you could maybe include that in the sale of the Chametz. Otherwise, if you really can't get out, you know, you're quarantined in your house and you cannot get out to be Toivol, so I saw a Psak that you can, when you buy the stuff, you should have in mind, let me just double check that, that's what you said. You know, if you really need to, and you're stuck in your house and you have no way to get it toiveled, so, or you're very, very uncomfortable toiveling it, what you can do is you can send a message to three people that you're making it hefker, you're making it ownerless, and then you put the kli in front of your house for like 20 minutes, and it's hefker. And whoever wants to take it can take it. You can't, you know, if anyone wants to come take it, you can't stop them. It's like hefker, it's not yours. And at that point, you can go outside and take it and have in mind that it doesn't become yours, so it really doesn't belong to you, and therefore you're using it on Pesach, but it's not really yours. If you really need to do that, you can do it. But it's, you know, again, that's in, if you can't leave your house or if you're uncomfortable, there you are able to do that. Otherwise, or if it's something which we only will be using on Pesach, you can include it in your Shtar Mechira. Okay. That's as far as Tefilas Kelim goes. Selling chametz. So generally, some people have a custom that they do not sell chametz gomer. They don't sell full-fledged chametz. I would say this year, people should consider selling their chametz gomer, because right after Pesach, it may be difficult to get stuff. Not just that the stores won't have it, probably the stores will have it, but to go out, not everyone's in a position to go out to shopping and to get stuff. And we don't want to create a whole rush where a lot of people are running to the store right after Yom Tif, and we don't want to create this whole panic and rush, and therefore it's no problem to sell your chametz gomer this year, and you do not have to be matir neder. You don't have to, you know, it's not considered changing your minhag. If you want to sell chametz gomer this year, that's okay. You're allowed to, and just put it away with your chametz and mark it off, and that's fine. Just another thing that makes life easier also is that when you're selling your chametz, it depends, again, I can't speak for all the rabbanim, but the way we do it is if you're selling your chametz, and you want to fill out a shtar, you want to fill out a document, where areas did you sell it? What areas are you selling? The problem is you don't remember every drawer and every cabinet and every, you know, area that you're selling, and it becomes a whole stress to think and remember exactly where you're selling. The easiest thing is to write in your document and say, I will sell any area with blue tape or whatever. And then right before Erev Pesach, before the sale happens, you go ahead and all the areas that you chose to sell, put on blue tape, and they're included in your mechira. So as opposed to specifying every area, you have to discuss this with your Rav, if your Rav is okay doing that. But if your Rav is okay doing that, it could be, it would alleviate some of your pre-Pesach, you know, stress. Just don't worry about exactly what areas and remembering specifically. Just have in mind, any area which has tape on it, that's what I'm selling to the guy. And regardless, areas that are sold to the guy have to be marked. You can't just leave in your kitchen or anywhere, cabinets which are sold to the goy without marking them. So they all have to be marked and labeled, you know, with a tape or sold or any sort of marking that would separate, that would indicate that those areas are sold to the goy. So someone just asked, you do not have to kosher candlesticks, even though your candlesticks were on the table. Even if your minhag is to put your candlesticks on the table the whole year, you don't have to kosher them. And also the tray that the candlesticks are on, you do not have to kosher that tray. Just clean it off and put it on the table on Pesach 2 is fine as long as it's clean. There's no need to kosher the tray or the candlesticks. Are you allowed to use the same dish towels, tablecloths, etc. that you used during the year? Are you allowed to use them on Pesach? The answer is yes. Tablecloths that are made out of a fabric that you can wash in hot water. You just wash the tablecloth well, wash the dishcloths well, wash, you know, hand towels well, and you can use all that on Pesach. You don't need to buy new ones before Pesach. If it's like a type of tablecloth that you don't really wash it, you just clean it, like a vinyl tablecloth, then I'm not sure if you could use it on Pesach, because that seems to me maybe is like buleya. It does absorb flavor. It's more like a kli. And anyway, you don't wash that in hot water. So a vinyl tablecloth, I'm not so excited about using the same one for Pesach. But if it's a cloth, fabric, tablecloth, or dish towels or anything like that, you do not need to get new ones for Pesach. All you need to do is wash them in hot water, and that's okay. Things that were used on the... See, I'm not getting all... Check the questions. It's too fast for me to see. I can't see. Things which all right. Spices and stuff like that, it's probably better to get new ones for Pesach, because spices, you know, you put over hot soup, let's say you're putting your pepper over your hot soup during the year, and it probably does get, you know, chametz dick, and it's probably better to use new ones. However, if you don't have new ones, what you could do is you can open up the so the container itself is chametz and the top is chametz, but it could be that the spices inside are not. And therefore, if you really need to, what you can do is you can open up your spices and pour out some for Pesach, and that technically would be okay. Just to get another container to pour it out from on Pesach, but that technically would be okay. Did someone just ask if you're allowed to sell flour? Is that the question? What?
Yes.
Yeah. So I would say you can sell flour this year. If you have flour now, you could sell the flour with your chametz. First of all, flour may not be considered chametz gomer, and even if it is considered chametz gomer, like I said before, it's okay to sell real chametz this year. But it's okay to sell it this year. As far as using a blech that you have, a chametz dik blech, so the chametz dik blech, it's pretty hard to, you have to make sure it's clean, and the best thing to do is, if it's clean, you should put two layers of foil on it. And if with two layers of foil, then it would be okay to use the chametz blech for Pesach. You only need to cover it with foil on the side that the food is on. So you only have to cover the top of it with two layers of foil. The bottom that touches the flame, you don't need to cover it with foil. So therefore, you don't have to worry about making like a fire or something like that. As long as the top is covered with two layers of foil, then you, and it's clean, well, it's cleaned, you can use the Shabbos dik blech. The same thing would be with a plata, like an electrical plata. You cannot kasher those for Pesach, but if it's clean and you use two layers of foil, then it would be okay. I'm not taking responsibility for that. I don't know exactly the safety of using those things with two layers of foil on them, but if it's not a safety issue, you would be able to use that for Pesach. Okay, as far as next week goes, so I haven't heard yet. Usually there is a public garbage collection, you know, Erev Pesach. What was this comment? Someone just put a comment on. I can't read it. If If what was the question? Right, I can't answer that question. But I don't know about how to wash a vinyl tablecloth. Maybe someone else has the answer to that. But as far as buying flour, I think it's okay to buy flour to sell it and have it afterwards. Because I don't think it's really chametz necessarily. And anyway, like we're saying, it's better to eliminate the panic of afterwards. Okay, as far as next week, usually there's a public garbage collection. And the reason for that is because the garbage cans in North Miami Beach belong to each homeowner. The homeowner owns the garbage can. So the garbage can is like your chotzer. It's like your territory. You own it, essentially. So since it's like your area, so Mamela, you're not allowed to keep chametz in your garbage can either. Just like you're not allowed to keep chametz in your home. You're not allowed to keep chametz in your garbage can on Pesach. So therefore, if let's say here there's garbage collection on Monday and Thursday. So Monday we're going to throw out our garbage. Probably going to have more chametz on Tuesday, right? And Wednesday night is the first night of Yom Tov. So what are we going to do with our garbage that we had on Tuesday and Wednesday? This is going to be a big question. So we'll wait and see. I didn't hear that there's going to be a public garbage collection this year. If there's not, then probably the only Eitzah is to throw out your garbage in your garbage can, but open up the garbage bag. Try to keep all your chametz in like one garbage bag. If you have on Tuesday and Wednesday, let's say your garbage was picked up Monday. So the next 2-3 days, have one specific garbage bag that you're putting in chametz. The rest of the garbage should go in a different garbage bag. And then the chametz garbage bag pour bleach into so that all the chametz in there became not roi l'achilas kelev, and then you throw it away. The outside garbages should also be cleaned. Just not major, just you know, pour in some bleach or something in the outside garbage cans because they belong to you. Make sure there's no edible chametz in them. And same thing with the inside garbage cans. Just make sure there's no edible chametz in them. You know, pour some bleach or something like that, and just clean out those garbage cans to make sure there's no, like I said, no edible chametz in them. Because the outside and inside garbages are both considered yours, and therefore you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't have any chametz there, and that's how you would eliminate that problem. Okay. Okay, now here I just sent you some questions, so let's see what the questions were. If you live in a communal dumpster, it's the same problem. Any of the garbage is not chametz, you could throw there, but the communal dumpster is part of your zchus. It's part of you pay for it with your monthly fee, and therefore you should not throw chametz into there before Pesach. What you should do rather is you can pour bleach into that bag and throw it, or you can kind of have in mind that whatever chametz belongs to you, even in the garbage dumpster, you're selling to the guy or something like that. But you have to keep that in mind. Can you kasher a pot with plastic handles? So you could kasher a pot with plastic handles, just especially again, if you're causing it to overflow, then it will overflow on that. The main thing is kashering the inside of the pot, not the outside of the pot. So it's okay if it has the So a pot that's, a frying pan that has like Teflon or something. Anyway, we said we can't kosher Teflon. You can't kosher frying pans. Is there pots that have Teflon in them? That's the question? I don't know. A water cooler does not need to be koshered. You could use it without koshering. You should not use the hot water, but the cold water can be used without koshering. Just clean it out well and clean it out, clean off the handle, clean off the knob, the faucet, the spout. And if it's clean, then you do not need to replace that for Pesach. Someone asked me about a soda stream. So again, I would say really you could use what I would suggest, because the whole year those bottles are on the table with the chametz. If it may be hard to wash them off well, maybe buy new bottles, but the machine you don't have to replace. You can buy the new bottles, you know, for the SodaStream. They're not expensive. You could buy a couple new bottles for there for them. Salt shakers, they could be cleaned out well, but again, they're on the table the whole year. They get greasy and stuff. It's probably better to just buy new salt shakers, but you could kasha them if you need to. Just have to be cleaned out well, and you can kasha them if you need to. So besamim, if you're afraid that your besamim holder has been on your shal shudas table or whatever table with crumbs all the year, so first of all, you just rinse it off and you could use it. But if you don't want to do that, just take some of the besamim into a plastic bag and use them. I would just take out some of the besamim and use those. I will mention quickly that the first days of Yom Tov is a 3-day Yom Tov, and therefore, to make things more exciting, in case it wasn't exciting enough, so it's a 3-day Yom Tov, and therefore you have to remember to make an Erev Tavshilin on Erev Pesach. So put that onto the Erev Pesach list is the Erev Tavshilin. So the Erev Tavshilin allows one that on Friday, normally you're not allowed to cook on one day of Yom Tov to the next day of Yom Tov, or on one day of Yom Tov to the next day, no matter what. If Friday is the second day of Yom Tov, but since the next day is Shabbos, if you made an Erev Tavshilin, you're allowed to cook from Friday to Shabbos. What that means is that you're allowed to, let's say, put up a cholent on Friday for Shabbos. The only thing I'll say is that it's important to remember is that you must remember to make sure that the food, which you're going to do on Friday, should be ready. It should be put up early enough that it's ready on Yom Tov. So if you remember at 6 p.m. to put up your chalent, it's not really the chatchila. You really should put up the chalent earlier in the day so that technically it could be ready on Friday itself. So anything you want for Shabbos, you usually do earlier rather than later. So let's say you want to refill. A lot of people ask, can I refill a hot water urn on Pesach, on Yom Tov? So the way to refill a hot water urn is, it depends. If there is a red button or something like that, a red light that turns on, you cannot make that light go on. And if there's a element that goes on, you can't make that element go on. But you're allowed to cook the water. So the fancier urns have a light that say when it's boiling. So if that light is on, it's boiling the water, you can add in as much water as you want. If sometimes in the urns you can also hear a... In an urn that doesn't have any lights, sometimes you hear when the coil is on, it's like reboiling the water. So if the coil is on, you can add on more water as long as you're not making the coil go on. Or alternatively, you can add a little bit of cold water, a little bit, and that little bit will not make the urn go on. And then come back 10 minutes later, add in another little bit. But you have to be careful not to make the urn go on. But otherwise, you are allowed to add on Yom Tov, you are allowed to add on hot water to your urn, and you can put up the chant with an Erev Tavshilin. So put that on your Erev Pesach list to do the Erev Tavshilin. Okay. Obviously, your crock pot should be plugged in already from Erev Yom Tov, because otherwise you can't have it plugged in on Yom Tov. You should plug in your crock pot before Yom Tov so that on Friday it's ready to be used for Shabbos. Okay. Now, so it's 9:30. Are there any questions? Yeah, so the racks should be left inside the oven when you're kashering the oven. When you're self-cleaning the oven, you should kasher the racks and leave them inside. Although the companies say that, you know, it's not good for the racks, but Lemaisa, that's really the only way to kasher it. And especially this year, you don't need to run like a 4-hour kashering cycle. You can do like an hour and a half or 2-hour, an hour and a half, you know, kashering cycle, self-cleaning cycle. Hopefully that will be okay for the... hopefully that will be okay for the racks but you should leave the racks inside when you're self-cleaning the oven. Yeah, so there's different opinions about that. I wasn't going to mention it because there are different customs. Most poskim seem to think you don't have to. You don't have to. Rabar and Cutler held you didn't have to, so that's probably good enough for most of us to say that you don't have to cover the inside of the oven door. My meaning is we do cover the inside of the oven door. There's a question there, but if you're self-cleaning the oven, put it like this: if you're not self-cleaning the oven, you definitely do not have to cover the door. If you have a self-clean, the oven door doesn't come to self-clean, but it's okay. You don't need to cover. The standard minhag is not to cover the oven door, and therefore you do not need to cover the oven door. Okay. Yeah, I can hear. Right. No, steamer's not good. It has to be a fire. I've tried those steamers. The steamer, if you put your hand, by the time that the steam, what you try to do is have the steam turn into water. But by the time that the steam turns into water, it's too cold. It doesn't kosher anymore. So, you know, it needs to be an iron. Right. Yeah. Right. I know Rabbi Janowski in Miami Beach says you could take a towel, soak it in water. Soak the towel in water, put it on your counter, and then iron until you hear it sizzling. That's a little more complicated because you have to have a lot of water. But the paper towel, I've seen Chassid people do that also. You know, the paper towel on the counters, soak a paper towel so it's holding the water, and then you put the iron until it's sizzling. So that's considered, you know, boiling the water. Sure. No, for sure that's okay. For sure that's okay. I'm just afraid that people will be nervous to burn their counters or something. But yeah, halachically, definitely. That's what Rav Scheinberg Zatzal was the one that came up originally with this iron shtickle. And he didn't say anything about the paper towel. He just said iron the counter. Put a layer of water on the counter and then go with an iron and boil the water. That was really how Rav Scheinberg said it originally. I assume that the reason why that changed is A, it's a little messy because you have to wet the whole counter. And B, you know, I'm not sure. I don't want to take a chrys and putting an iron on a granite countertop, what that would do to the counter. But yeah, for sure you can do that. Okay, my wife. Are you looking at them?
Yeah.
Okay, so I thought I got most of the ones in there, but No, for sure it could be kosher. The reason I said to cover it is just because I assumed that people were going to have a tough time koshering it just practically. How you getting the paper up there, and it's just practically it's a little bit difficult. But if you can kosher it, for sure it could be kosher. Yeah. Right, so that's what someone asked. What's the story with the door? So, if the door is cleaned very, very well, and regardless, the door is made out of glass. So that's why earlier we. So if the door is cleaned very, very well, glass top. I said you can't kosher glass, but the oven door, most poiskim hold that the oven door is kashered with the self-clean cycle. Regardless, if someone has a specific question, they can ask me. There are different minhagim on that. Some do feel that since the door doesn't reach the temperature of the self-clean, you should cover the door. So if you've seen that or that's your minhag or something, there's a reason for that. But the general practice is that you were not makbid on that. Okay, so I didn't get involved in most stovetops. I spoke about the glass top, but I did not discuss a regular electric stove. Or gas. So if you have a regular gas stove, so you know there's three parts of the gas stove. There's the area between the burners. Then there's like the little round disc That's where the fire comes out from. And then there's the grates. So the grate, the little round disc, the way you kasha that is you turn on the flame to the highest, and then you put like a blech or a thick layer of foil on there for about 15 minutes, and that kashers that whole area. But the grates, it's harder to kasher. And therefore, the way to kasher the grates would be you stick it into your self-clean, you turn on a self-clean, and that would kasher the grates. The problem with that is that some people claim that the companies say it will ruin the grates if you do that. Whatever. So some people don't want to do that. If it's just a question, you know, if it's an investment for the future and you're making Pesach for many years, so we just bought new grates, you know, a second pair, and we have them for Pesach, and that's what we do. If this is just you're just here and you don't want to do that, and which makes sense, it's an extra expense. So then, it's like we're talking about like the continuous grates, which cover the whole entire area of the. So I guess if you're able to put into the self-clean, that's the best. If you can't, then what you have to do is turn on, I know I usually say that, but turn on, let's say, two of the burners at the same time. Let's say both burners on the right-hand side, and cover it with a blech. As long as it's clean, it could be a chametz stick blech. Cover it with a blech and turn it on for like 20 minutes on the highest. And the area in between will get enough hot, that it kasher the area in between. I think if you do all four burners at the same time with a blech on the highest for 15 minutes, it's dangerous. It could turn into a fire. So I would say, do one side at a time. But that technically would work. It's, you have to know, you have to see for yourself if the whole entire area of all the grates got hot enough. There's probably area between the grates that don't really reach that hot when you do that. So that's the concern with that. If it's possible, those areas that don't get so hot, cover them with foil. The area right on top of the burner will get hot enough, and that will become kosher. But like the area between the burners, I'm talking about like in the middle of the stove, not between, let's say, the front and the back, but the area between the right side and the left side. So sometimes there, the area won't get hot. It won't get hot enough. So maybe you could cover a little bit of that area with foil. That would be okay. I could talk about it, but let's see if there's any other questions first, and we'll get back to sinks if we have to. Yeah, that's what I said. Fabric tablecloths can be cleaned in the washing machine in hot water. I was saying the vinyl tablecloths, I'm not sure that you can clean them in the hot water. So that's why I suggested that I wasn't sure if it's a vinyl tablecloth you can use. Right, correct. So, but if you're not putting any food on, if you're not putting any food in the area between the burners, then it should be okay. Right. But yeah, if you're going to cover it, it's enough. Either take it off. I don't exactly know what you're referring to, but either take it off or cover it. My concern about covering it is that on a glass top type of thing, the cover could be, you could trap the heat under the cover and cause it to crack. So that's why, I'm nervous about that. Okay. Okay, so just quickly about the sinks. What'd you say? The way to kasha the sink is basically, you take, so there's multiple ways how to do it. The standard way that most people have done is you take boiling hot water, you boil up a Pesach Dik pot or a Pesach Dik kettle or something like that, and you take the sink after it wasn't used for 24 hours and you pour boiling hot water over the sink. Now, you have to be very specific how you do this. You have to hit every spot, and you have got to do it in a way where, let's say you start from the bottom and you methodically work through every spot that you're hitting the spot in the bottom, and then you move over to the sides and then you go up. The challenge is hitting every spot on the side of the sink. That's where it becomes a little more difficult. If you feel that it's going to be very difficult for you to pour water down on the side of the sink and hitting every spot, there are methods how to make it easier, but I don't want to get into it now. I did speak about it at length in the other share. Some feel that it's very hard for them to hit every spot on the side of the sink, and therefore they just prefer just covering the sink, or doing a different, some sort of different, similar to the iron method on the sink also, where this way you don't have to pour water all over the place, but basically you heat up the water on the sink itself. So it could be easier to do it that way. And this way you ensure that water is touching every single spot. That's in a nutshell. But again, we don't kosher glass or cheres or enamel. So I'm talking about if it's a stainless steel sink, that should be, that's the method how to do it. Okay, any more questions? No, if you koshered it this way by pouring boiling hot water, no, it's probably a good idea. Not a bad idea to do that, because there is a question about a question. Did you really get every spot? Well, obviously, I'm not saying mikra din you have to, but if you're used to doing it that way, I would continue doing it that way. I would say if you're koshering it this way by pouring out water, it's a good idea to avoid as much possible touching the sink itself. And one other thing is, you obviously have to replace that little strainer thing on the bottom of the sink. You should get a new one of those. And you also have to kosher the faucet. So when you're koshering the sink, kosher the faucet as well. Pour the hot water on the faucet as well. If the bottom of your faucet is a spritzer thing, that the bottom of it is plastic. So again, we don't kosher plastic on Pesach, so you could ask me separately what to do about that. But you have to figure out how to kosher the, if it's metal, a regular aerator, that you could just kosher by pouring boiling hot water on it. If it's a fancy faucet, that may be more of an issue. A glass hot plate. Apparently there's a question about a glass hot plate. You can't kosher glass for Pesach. So, if you double wrap with aluminum foil, it's fine. I just, again, I'm not sure a glass that you double wrap with aluminum foil will work. Possibly that when the heat gets trapped under the aluminum foil, it cracks the glass. So I would be concerned with that. Possibly. I mean, I don't know. But as far as kosher is concerned, that's okay. A regular hot plate, if it's cleaned and you double wrap it with two layers of foil, that's okay. So a regular, it depends. Lysol is probably good because it's an antibacterial thing, so it's meant to kill bacteria. But if it's just Fantastic, something which has a good smell and it's wipes stuff off, but it's not necessarily antibacteria, so that may not be good enough. Because that stuff doesn't necessarily, it's not like toxic. So it's not, it won't make the food necessarily considered not roi l'achilas kelev. If the faucet has plastic parts, then they can't be koshered, so they should be covered. But if it's the bottom of your faucet is plastic, so that's what I was saying before. If the faucet itself is a spritzer, then you should, I don't really. If you're Sephardi, you can kosher it, but for Ashkenazim, it's a little bit of an issue. You know, if you can get a new one easily, apparently someone told me they found one in Home Depot for $10. I don't know if anything is easy nowadays. If you cannot replace it, then just kosher it, and you know, I guess move the faucet aside when you're pouring. You know, try and avoid, you know, getting it steamed up so on Pesach, so that, you know, let's say you have you know, don't put boiling hot stuff directly into the sink so that the plastic part shouldn't touch the boiling hot stuff. You do not need to clean the oven before you self-clean it. But if you don't have self-clean and you're just going to turn it on to the highest for 2 hours, then you do need to clean it before. A lot of times, if you're only going to do a two-hour self-clean cycle, not everything comes out. So then maybe it is kedai to clean it before. So if you're going to do a full cycle, then maybe not. But if you're going to do a shorter cycle, like a two-hour cycle, it's probably better to clean the oven before. The stuff that's still, the you know, the black spots in the oven that are there after you finish cleaning it, you don't have to worry about those. Okay, so the electric stoves, so we did the gas stovetops and we did the glass tops. The electric stovetops, like the coils, so the way you kosher those is that the little rim around and the dish pans, the dish pan underneath is very, very cheap. You should just really replace those or stick them in the self-clean oven, but those, it's going to probably destroy it if you stick it in the self-clean oven. The rim and the coil gets kashered. If you turn on the coil for about 15 minutes, it kashers the coil. If you, and what you could do with the rim is you do, like we said before, turn on the coil on the highest and then put like a blech, a covering over the coil for about 15 minutes, and that will cover that will kasher the rim and the coil. The area in between the burners should be covered because that won't get kashered, and you don't want food to fall in between there and become chametz. So the area between the burners should be kashered. Okay. All right. As some people are asking about beer chametz, how to burn the chametz this year, I don't think there's going to be a public burning this year. So for people that are living in buildings or people that cannot burn the chametz, you can't leave your house, then what you should do is all the chametz that you found during the bedikah, which should equal a kazayis of chametz, you should flush it down the toilet, and that's the way you'll do a beer chametz this year. If you're able to, you know, do some sort of beer in your property, outside in your grill or something, take a minimal amount, one kazayis, and burn the chametz on your own. But you should not be keeping a lot of chametz for the beer, because we can't do, you know, large fires, and you can't do public fires, and you can't do neighbors coming over. So it should just be a private fire on your grill or something like that for one kazayis of chametz, plus whatever it is that you found during the bedikah. And that's all you should burn. The rest you should either sell to the guy or get rid of it in the way that we described earlier. Okay, if you have any further questions, you can email me. It's Rabbi Bledger. My name, B-L-E-J-E-R, Rabbi Bledger at K-Z-M-N-M-B. It's Kolel Zichron Michal, North Miami Beach, .org. Rabbi Bledger at K-Z-M-N-M-B.org. You can email me any questions. And I hope everyone has a Chag Kosher Sameach. And to Hashem, this should be the last steps that we're in the process of greeting Mashiach. And just as the first Geula we had was in Nisan, B'Nisan Nigalu, B'Nisan Asid in Nigal, the Geula will be coming in Nisan. And I will mention that a lot of the Rosh Hashivas and the people are saying that the avoid in this time is the avoid of tefillah, is to daven, but daven in with an understanding that, you know, this is our only, Hashem's help is only the only thing that we have to save us and to protect us and to give refuah to everyone who needs it. And especially the women have a koach of connecting with God's Baruch and tefillah in a very special way. It's an opportunity for everyone to try to, even through the whole preparations and all through the, you know, all the everything going on, to connect in tefillah is a special opportunity in these times when we really feel we're being given such a push to feel that we are in the hands of Hashem. To express ourselves in tefillah is a very special opportunity right now. And even if a person cannot, you know, set aside the time at a specific time during the day to daven shachris or mincha or something because their kids are home, but to have a sefer tehillim around, and whenever you're having a spare moment, you know, saying a kapitel of tehillim, and doing it in a way that, you know, you can connect in your own way, that's very, very important, and it's a very special opportunity. Now that we're being shown this, so we should take that opportunity, and with Hashem, our tefillos will be answered, and we should all together have the experience of Geula, Asida, B'meir, V'meinu, Amen.